Two reminded me as we were singing Great Are You Lord when she and I were in Milan in July. I was preaching at a church there in Italy, and we sang that song in Italian. It's a great thought, isn't it, that all over the world today, in however many hundreds of languages, our Lord Christ is being worshiped. Okay, let's begin. I want you to hear this word of the Lord as we begin. This is from Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." The word of the Lord. Recently, Pastor Ty shared a doctoral dissertation with me. With an odd title. Here was the title of that dissertation. Cura Animarium, then the subtitle, A Theological Ethical Assessment of the Use of Social Robots in the Healthcare System. Now, the first part, the Latin part, cura animarium, that just means the curing of the caring of souls. But it's the other part that's sort of odd. A Theological Ethical Assessment of the Use of Social Robots in the Healthcare System. And at first thought, I thought, okay, so is that about robotics in the operating room? Oh, no. This is about non-humans. This is a study of non-humans, of the social robots coming to you and visiting you when you're at the Cleveland Clinic. Yeah, this is R2-D2 coming to see you in room 352B right after your surgery. Really? You've seen these. You're logging in somewhere, and you have to prove that you're human. Find the bicycle. Okay, there's one. There's a minivan. Is there a bicycle behind the minivan? This is the way I think about these, by the way. Okay, there's a bicycle there in the middle. That person in the bottom right, I think he's riding a bicycle, or it could be a motorcycle. Is there a bicycle in the intersection? I always fail these. And then it has to bring me up another one. And it's like, maybe I'm not human. Another study, by the way, tells us that AI is better than humans in solving the prove you are human test. What's all that about? So here's our question today. What's it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? So many people and so many societies are wrestling with that today. And there's a lot of angles to this conversation. What does it mean to be human? We could be talking about artificial intelligence. We can be talking about human sexuality. Whether thousands of years ago or today, we could be talking about a human's dignity, a human's worth. The entire what is human discussion certainly includes end-of-life issues, not to mention beginning-of-life issues. Disabilities, gender identity, even the soul. Today we're concluding a series called Integral, where we've been looking at the implications of what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How do we relate together communally as image bearers? What is the implications of being what we've been calling embodied souls. So to culminate this seven-week series that Pastor Ty in some ways created and got us started, this biblical investigation of this topic of embodiment of human soul, I want to make five assertions today. I want to teach five assertions that come from this idea, primarily starting with Genesis 1, what I read, and Genesis 2 that I'll read again as well. What does it mean that we are created in the image of God? I want to make five first affirmations that we can say we believe as a church. And what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Now, to affirm something, to believe something, is not just to check a box. It's to act as if we believe that. Affirmations are more than just mental assents. They are, okay, I believe that, and this is how I'll live. If I believe that all castes, if I'm in India, or all races, if I'm in America, are equal, I will act, I will behave in a particular way. If I believe that all castes are different, some are less than others, some races are less than others, I will behave in a particular way. If I believe that 1 + 1 = 2, and 5 + 5 = 10, then now I can know how much money I have. I can know how to budget, right? The advantage of knowing, of affirming the mathematical truth is not so I can pass a math test. It's so that I can live well. It's so that I can deal with life and reality as it truly is. Now, before we get to our five affirmations, I want to look at one last early Genesis text that deals with our creation, how we were formed, how we were designed. And here it is. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. That's our physicality and that's our spirituality. That's our material nature and that's our immaterial nature. We are formed from the dust of the ground. I love the way that Moses writes this, that beautifully, artistically, we have been shaped and sculpted by our Creator God. But also, we have he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. That's the immaterial part of us. It's after sculpting us, the idea, the picture is his breath animated this inanimate thing called human. It's sort of like, have you seen the new Superman statue in downtown Cleveland? Kind of cool. It's just, they just unveiled it last week. And a man by the name of David Deming was the sculptor that made it. So there it is. I think it's on Public Square. Right there. It's huge. Superman. Superman started in Cleveland. You know that. Well, this image is, it would be like if David Deming, who sculpted it, then all of a sudden breathed on his Superman statue and came to life. That's the picture. To be human is to live out the interplay of our being, which is both physical and spiritual, is both material and immaterial. It is to be embodied souls and live that way. So, okay, here we go. Here's our five affirmations. Number one, at Trinity, we affirm that human beings are created in the image of God and have inherent worth and dignity which cannot be destroyed or taken away. Let us make man in our image, and that divine image we are saying, we are affirming, is present from conception to death and everything in between. Which is why we support ministries like Ivy Center, Ivy Women's Center, Hannah's Home, to protect the unborn, to help mothers who are not sure they want to have this child. We support ministries that protect the unborn. It's why we also, we don't say it very much, but we, as a church, I think we certainly oppose euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide that sort of usurps the authority of God to give and take life. Certainly we believe in compassion and in care and in pain management for terminal illnesses. But euthanasia, we've got to say no. We certainly value medical and technological assistance to everyone to improve quality of life and enhance personal independence. But we believe that life has worth from the very, very beginning to the very, very end. And we recognize and celebrate the intrinsic worth of all people, regardless of their abilities, mental or physical, regardless of their race or caste, which is why we support the ministry in India that supports the bottom of the caste system, and those in the top of the caste system for generations have considered them less than human. No, we say everyone is human. Everyone has worth. There should not be a trace of racism in a Christian's mindset. Shouldn't be there. They all have worth, regardless of the ability. Sue and I were in a restaurant in Marco Island last week. And we got to chatting with the waitress there. And they had several things that were for sale. It was a Mexican restaurant. Little things, cups and bowls and other things. And she said, these were made, they're well done. These were made to support a family. They have three Down syndrome children. Whoa. I have Down syndrome children. You know why there's so much fewer today? Because as soon as someone realizes they've got Downs, they often abort them. This couple decided not to. That's intrinsic worth. Whether you're down or up, you have worth. Human beings are created in the image of God and have inherent worth and dignity. Can't be destroyed. Can't be taken away. Now, to affirm that is to act as if it is so. Ever wonder if you have a blind spot? Ever wonder if you got some sort of person or people group in your mindset? Maybe you were grown up with it. Maybe you were taught it, that they don't quite have the worth that I do. Careful of that. Ask God to reveal it to you if you do. Repent and maybe change your heart. What about you? Ever think about that? That you are a person of worth. You have unique worth, more worth than you'll ever know. You are more valued by God than you could ever imagine. And it's not because of what you do or what you don't do. You are valued by God because of who you are. Pure and simple. Take that home with you. Put your name in that statement. Paul, Mary, Steve, Julie is created in the image of God. And I have inherent worth and dignity, which cannot be destroyed nor taken away. Can you live with that? That's you. Okay, Affirmation number two. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are embodied souls created as one unified self made up of body and spirit. Out of the dust of the ground, God formed man, that's the body, and he breathed into it the breath of life, that's the spirit. We're one unified self, and this unified self is physical and it's spiritual. It's material and it's immaterial. I'm sorry, Madonna, but you're not just a material girl living in a material world. You're more than that. We're not just merely spiritual either, by the way. At times in the Christian world, we misinterpret the New Testament's word of flesh, and we think it means this literal flesh, and we think it's something wrong, something evil, something at least of no consequence that only gets us in trouble. No. God created it as good. It was meant to be good. So both the physical and the spiritual are good. Both the physical and the spiritual are fallen, broken because of sin. And both the physical and the spiritual are me. I'm one. I'm not two. And because it's so, how do I act? Well, 3-4 times a week, I'm somewhere working out. I got to make sure this thing stays in shape. I come to church. I'm in fellowship with others. I build up my soul. I pray. I read the scriptures. Both are absolutely vital. Sue and I were flying home the other day, and there was a man, young fellow, sitting next to us named Will. Will was an interesting fellow. He was so vibrant and so full of life. I said, "Where are you headed, Will?" He said, "I'm headed to the Billy Graham Center in Asheville, North Carolina, for a spiritual retreat." I said, "Good for you." He said, "Well, my mom bought it for me." "Well, that's okay." He said, "6 months ago, I gave my life back to Christ again." This is probably in his 20s. By the way, if you have a child in his 20s or older and have walked away from the Lord, keep praying for him. "How'd you do it, Mom?" "Pray." But there he was. And he made an interesting statement. Sue or I said something to him, and he said, "I've been thinking, should I fast at this retreat?" I said, "Well, think about it." But the whole idea of fasting is an interesting thing, isn't it? Because it's the integration of your spirit and your body. Both are at work when you are spiritually and physically fasting. We are one. Human beings are embodied souls, and we are one. And we have to take care of both our physical and our spiritual. Thirdly, human beings are created as sexual beings. God created mankind in his own image, male and female. He created them. Our sexuality is an integral aspect of the image of God in us. Whether you're single or whether you're married, it's still true. Male and female, he created them. I'm convinced if someone encountered their entire life only one gender, I don't know how that would be possible. You're some weird monastery and you only see men or you only see women. If you only encountered one gender your entire life, your understanding of the image of God would be diminished. Because the image of God is reflected in male and female. Isn't it interesting, in that original creation story then comes the covenant of marriage where sexual intimacy is then expressed in that covenant. And one of the fruit of that intimacy is the creation of new image bearers. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Let me say one other thing here. The fall, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. Our sin, the fall, has brought about a lot of confusion and dysfunction in the whole area of sexual design, in the creational design of our sex. We see it again and again, right? A friend of mine, his name is Jason Cole. For those of you that are part of Man Up, I had him come speak with us last spring. Jason Cole is a medical doctor who now is a follower of Jesus. He has a regular column in the Akron Beacon Journal, and he wrote a really good short article on July 26th. You should look it up. And it's the reason I really liked it is he wrestled with the whole transgender issue. He wrestled with it as a medical doctor, and he wrestled with it as a follower of Jesus. And he did it with care and compassion, but also with clarity. He clearly recognized the debate that goes on in our society, as well as the distress that gender dysphoria has brought. You ought to read it. It's really good. But I guess all that to say, the fall, even though God created with such beauty a male and female, the fall has brought such confusion, dysfunction, and even damage in the area of sexuality. But know this, know that. Human beings are created as sexual beings. Male and female, he created them. Okay, fourthly. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are created for community. We are made in the image of God. Let us create mankind in our image. Now, there's a lot of debate in theology as to why that is in the plural. Let us create in our image. At least it's an implication of the plurality of the personhood of our God. We believe in one God. There is only one God. But in the mystery of that one God, there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is an eternal community within God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are made in that image. We are made to be relational, for our God is a relational God. In an eternal fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so right off the bat, and I know this initially refers to marriage when talking about Adam, but it's still true all around. It is not good for man to be alone. One of the phrases, you go to our website, you'll see it again and again. You don't have to do life alone. You don't have to do life alone. We were created for community. I love this passage from Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one falls down, no one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Two are better than one. Think about this. The most precious, the most significant things in our life are often our relationships. Stop for a second. Think about your kids. Think about your best friends. Think about your parents. Think about your grandkids. We're created for that. We're created to love that. It's great to be back. Sue and I were gone for almost 2 weeks. We were down in Florida. The first several days was working. Sue was finishing writing for women's discipleship, and I was doing some sermon work for this fall and finishing up some Man Up stuff and a few others. But come the fourth or fifth day or whatever it was, my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter came. Ask me about that. Don't ask me about when we were digging into the books. That was fine. But boy, when they came, we slammed the book shut. Let's do it. Let's have fun. And every 8 o'clock, every morning at 8 o'clock, my daughter and I and the 262 degree heat of Florida. We're playing tennis until I melted. That was my excuse for finishing so she wouldn't beat me. I'm just done. That's an interview with a hospice nurse. And she said, people that are patients in hospice have, there's three things they're interested in. The people they love, the people that love them, and the people they've hurt. It's about people, guys. We're made for people. We're made for community. End of October, several of us are going to India, and it's toward the end of our trip. I'm going to go for the first time to Kolkata. I'm really looking forward to it, to go see the ministry that Mother Teresa left behind. She's dealt with so much suffering in that area. And yet, listen to what she says. Loneliness is the greatest cause of suffering in the Western world. Created for community. God didn't intend us to do life or ministry or church by ourselves, which is why the body of Christ is so important. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Many parts. Every one of us, male or female, single or married, we all have a part in this body. We fit with our gifts, with our talents, with our personalities. We're not just here to watch a show. We're here to be part of the body and part of the community, because human beings are created for community. And He, in His grace, God has given the human race, those who have been redeemed by Christ, a new community, and it's called the church. We get to be part of that beautiful body of Christ. You don't have to do life alone. Okay, final affirmation. Here it is. Oh, those are the verses I read. I didn't realize they weren't on the screen. Okay, final affirmation. And this is getting us ready for communion, by the way. In a moment, we're going to break the bread and cup of the table of Jesus Christ. And if you are a follower of Christ, this morning, if you've given your life to Christ by faith, whether you're a member of Trinity or not, you are welcome to participate in the time of communion. But in order to participate in the time of communion, you've got to realize your need for communion, your need for the broken body of Christ. And our need for the broken body of Christ is that we here at Trinity, we believe, we affirm that human beings are fallen and in need of the redemption through Jesus Christ. It didn't take long for the creation story to come all crashing down. God created man in His image. God said everything was good. God created and blessed. And then there was life. And then shortly after, there's death because of sin. And there was good. And then there's cursing. And there's walking with God in paradise. And there's being expulsed from paradise, away from the presence of God. That's every one of us. So we have the heightened ego of being made with worth and dignity in the image of God. And then we have the low sense of falling short of the glory of God. And that's what being human is. It's both of those things. Both of it is our brokenness. The result of that, by the way, is sin. And then the result of sin is death. And what's death? We talked about body and soul. Death is the body and the soul being separated. That's what death is. It's not extinction. When somebody dies, they don't not exist. They still exist. Their spirit lives on in their body until the day of resurrection is in the grave. This says it really well. Our Presbyterian friends say this regularly. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness, and do immediately pass into glory. And their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. That's profound and that's true. First phrase is important, though. The soul of believers are at their death made perfect. Believers, Christ came, took on a body. He was human as we are, but he came with a purpose to reverse the curse. And he died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and that the curse of death could be reversed to life. He rose again on the third day to prove that it happened. But then calls on every one of us to say, I'm in. I want that. And by faith, we give our lives to Christ. And now we become those believers who at death, our souls are perfected. Have you done it? Have you said yes to that? Have you affirmed it by faith? Oh, I urge you to do it today. The soul of believers are at death made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. At a funeral, we often say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And now we confine Joe's body to the earth and his soul to you, O Lord. What we're doing. But here's the beauty of the resurrection day. On the day of resurrection, we get new bodies because as humans, we are body and spirit. We are not just going to be, you know, you hear people say, oh, I got the wings as angels. No, you didn't. That's a whole different being. We don't have wings like angels. We're humans. And as humans, we need bodies. And at the resurrection, we get new bodies. And again, we are total body and spirit. Christ was our forebearer in doing that. And then we get to follow him as well. You affirm that. You believe it. You do. You act as if it's so. And if it's so, you begin following Christ. Begin living your life for Christ. And then in the meantime, here's how we live. My friends who are in Christ, body and soul. Notice body and soul. How do we live? How do we worship? With our bodies, with our souls. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's your spiritual worship. That's your spiritual worship? To live. Your bodies, your physicality is living a life that is honoring and worshipful to God. And in so doing it, you're worshiping spiritually. As a church, those are our five affirmations. I will repeat them, and then we will pray and prepare our time for the Lord's table. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are created in the image of God and that have inherent worth and dignity, which cannot be destroyed or taken away. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are embodied souls created as one unified self made up of body and spirit. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are created as sexual beings, male and female, he created them. At Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are created for community. You don't have to do life alone. And at Trinity Church, we affirm that human beings are fallen and in need of redemption through Jesus Christ. And our Redeemer Christ invites us to come to his table to do this in remembrance of me. Our life, our eternal life, is dependent on what Christ has done for us. And we take the bread and drink the cup on a regular basis to remind ourselves of that. If that's you today, if you have affirmed Christ's death for you and are living that way, I invite you. Now, in a moment, as the two are passed, to take the communion with us. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite those that are serving us to begin serving us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you've created us with dignity and worth as humans, as embodied souls. And thank you that you have not left us in our fallen, sinful, broken state, but have provided a means of redemption for us through your Son, Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that have not trusted Christ by faith, that your Holy Spirit would quicken them, would remind them, would urge them to do so. And now as we take the bread and drink the cup, may this be a celebration of thanks for what you have done for us through your Son, Christ, restoring us to fellowship with you in all dignity and all worth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.